You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, episode 36.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving online with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, new episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and now Spotify. Or you can sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when new shows are being released. Now, today I'm chatting with Michelle Romano, who is the co-founder and president of ClearBank. Now, you may not have heard of them, but what they're doing is they're redefining banking that really is tailored towards the needs of e-commerce entrepreneurs like you. And they're helping these Shopify businesses kind of secure credit, marketing credit, basically dollars to help with new customer acquisition. And the best part about it is that they're not taking any personal guarantees or equity out of your brand, and no credit scores and all that kind of stuff. It's quite interesting. And, you know, so if you're looking to increase traffic, like we all are, to our e-commerce stores, ClearBank, it literally is there to help fund your digital ad spend and really help you acquire more customers and help you grow your business. And, you know, that's what they offer. It really is capital to help you grow. And I think their goal from what I understand and you're going to learn today is that they really truly want to be a partner with you to help your brand grow. So let's jump into the show. So hi, Michelle. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Great to be here, Steve.
So let's talk on a high level first about what, I mean, I did at the top of the show talk about what it is, but what does ClearBank do and what problem does it solve for Shopify store owners?
Yeah. So I'll start a little bit with my story. I mean, I was an e-commerce entrepreneur myself, built Buytopia up, you know, bought 10 of our competitors and joined the cast of Dragon's Den. And one of the things that happens on the show is you see a ton of entrepreneurs. And I kept seeing kind of the same story. It was like, you know, a couple of great e-commerce entrepreneurs would come on the show, father-son team making, you know, the wooden iPhone cases, and they make them for $10. They sell them, you know, on Shopify for $50. It costs them $10 in Facebook ad spend. And they were on the show, you know, saying, look, I'm looking for $100,000. I'm willing to give up 25% of my company because I need to expand my business to go buy more digital ads. And I just kept, you know, sitting back and thinking, you know, these entrepreneurs really do need the $100,000, but like they're just going to use this to go buy advertising. And they're going to be really resentful when I own 25% of their company. So I started thinking about, you know, could we do this as a revenue share? You know, I give you the $100,000, take, call it 5% of your revenue until you pay me back $106,000. So I wasn't charging very much for my capital, 6%, but I was getting a great return. And what I understood, which is what most great, you know, Shopify entrepreneurs understand, is that customer acquisition is really king. And when you can measure it and you have positive unit economics, you can really grow. And so we built the product based around that. It's exactly what you described. I always thought it was super unfair that you'd ask, you know, a founder to give up a personal guarantee, like as if being a founder isn't the hardest job in the world.
Right.
Now you want me to put my house up on the line. you know, that was very unfair. Banks had to do that because they didn't really understand digital businesses or your data. And, you know, then venture capitalists, there's nothing wrong with that. But they take a part of your company that you can never get back. Mm. And so you should be using that capital for true risk and, you know, product development. You shouldn't be using that for what should be repeatable and scalable ads. And so our goal was, can we provide everyone who's buying a Facebook or a Google ad, you know, for their e-commerce store, can we provide them that capital to grow?
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, that's one of the big challenges that I think a lot of people have is that, you know, they, I mean, there's nothing wrong with slow growth, but when they have a few things dialed in and it's starting to work, really it comes down to, do I have enough money for new customer acquisition or do I have enough funds to be able to buy the product for the demand of the brand? I see that both sides of the coin. Do you see that also?
Of course. I mean, you have to have both enough inventory and then you have to have good ad spend metrics. And when you have discovered something that's working, especially when your ads are converting. There's nothing worse than slowing down at that point. And so it's exactly that. I mean, we see it. And I mean, I built the product, Steve, I wish I had had, you know, 7 years ago. I wish that there was this product where it was like, yeah, I know exactly what it costs. This is the marketing I'm going to do, and this is going to convert. And so, you know, it was all about how do we build the most founder-friendly product. You know, we'll start people that are doing, our minimum is 10K of revenue a month, so pretty small. And we scaled up to businesses that are doing $250 million of revenue a year. So it's a big range in terms of, but it's the same idea. If you have, you know, positive unit economics on acquiring your customers, we would love to be funding you.
Yeah, that's really great. So you mentioned a little bit, I mean, there is a backstory that I make sure I'll add into the show notes, you know, for those that may not know who you are. I mean, I'm, you know, from Vancouver, Canadian, and I definitely know Dragon's Den, and it's a very popular show in Canada, certainly the equivalent to Shark Tank, which maybe for those in the US and around the world know of. And can you just maybe quickly highlight, I will put the full link in the show notes, but just highlight that journey just so we kind of understand kind of what uniquely puts you in the position that you're at today, being able to offer this to e-commerce entrepreneurs.
I started off as an engineer at Queen's University and started a little coffee shop on campus. It was one of the first zero consumer waste coffee shops called the Tea Room. It's still there 11 years later. I caught the entrepreneurial bug at that point. And by the time I had graduated, figured out that worldwide supply of sturgeon caviar, of all things, was down by 95%. You know, crazy. We had overfished the Caspian Sea. What's crazier is that I moved out to New Brunswick, having never gone fishing before. And me and two co-founders opened a fishery from scratch. That's everything it sounds like. Boats, fishermen, my hands knee deep in fish, the whole nine yards.
Wow.
And our thesis was right. You know, we had found a product that chefs weren't able to get, so everyone was interested in it. And then after all that work, we were hit by a giant recession in 2008.
Yeah.
And I knew there was going to be no way I was going to make it out at 21 years old. So, you know, became the director of strategy for Sears. Saw e-commerce blowing up and was like, I don't think this company is the one that's going to take advantage of this. And so ended up getting back together with the two guys, Ryan and Anatoly, that I started the caviar business with. And we started Buytopia. In the early days, we were an early competitor to Groupon. I mean, we couldn't raise any capital, but figured out, became one of the fastest growing companies, basically through low-cost customer acquisition, deals with big national brands, and then doing a roll-up strategy where we bought 10 of our competitors. And so I got to see a lot of different e-commerce sites from a lot of different angles. That whole group of companies should go public in the next couple of years. From there, we spun out another app called SnapSaves that digitized coupons for the consumer packaged goods space. So our clients were Coca-Cola and Procter & Gamble, and that company was acquired by Groupon in 2014. So I always say that I moved from Toronto to Chicago. So I moved from a cold winter to an even colder winter. And spent a couple of years there. After that, I joined the boards of a couple of public companies and the cast of Dragon's Den. I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. It is the mindset that I understand the most. And it was, you know, really by seeing all these entrepreneurs pitch on Dragon's Den that I appreciated what a problem this was and that there was a better solution, especially for e-com entrepreneurs.
So with all this experience now, so SnapSaves, and definitely have used it in the past with the little app because I'm here in Canada. Yeah, so I get it. My wife has used it also. And so we have all these brands, you know, we started off. I find it interesting that there's this journey that goes along where, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs don't actually get it. And I think they need to get it, need to hear it from you that, you know what, maybe some of these smaller failures, maybe they're not failures. Maybe it's just part of the entrepreneurial journey of trying and executing and learning from your mistakes. And then kind of like, if you can kind of share like your mindset behind that about going out and executing and trying something that you think can do well, learn from that. And then based on that kind of mindset, how are you able to now put that knowledge and kind of what's been going on now with Dragon's Den and the companies that you get access to and hearing their pitches? How is that, I guess, contrasted now to what you're putting into ClearBank now?
I don't believe in failure. I mean, I do believe in failure because I felt it a lot.
Yeah.
But you know, those are those are your teaching and learning moments. Like the part where you're feeling the most pain is the moment when you're like, what did I need to learn from what I was doing here? And how do I make sure this doesn't happen again? And so I totally believe that that's where great innovation comes from. Sometimes people make the mistake of thinking, you know, innovation is about one big idea and betting big and having these, you know, grand eureka moments. But that's never been the case for me. I got to tell you, Steve, like I've never had a eureka moment in my career. I had good ideas that I iterated a lot on, you know, that SnapSaves was not the first iteration of that product. I mean, we were doing, you know, the beauty boxes where we'd mail samples to your house. We were trying other things for the space. We were pitching all the time and then finally got something that worked. And I think that resonates true with all entrepreneurs. It's an iterative process to get a product and to get marketing that's resonating and to get ads that are working. And I think that there is no way I would have been able to build this company today without, first of all, understanding like the deep struggle that entrepreneurs go to and how unfair it is for most entrepreneurs to get access to capital, and then trying to build something better and knowing that if you just grind away long enough, something tends to give.
The roller coaster is interesting. I've, you know, been an entrepreneur myself, started way back in 2000 and, you know, became an eBay power seller and, you know, launched my own brands in the contact lens and eyewear space in Canada. And, you know, so I definitely can appreciate that, what it takes. And this certainly wasn't my first rodeo either. And I have the exact same mindset where it's not failures. It's definitely learning. It's growing. It's just part of the journey. And I guess it's only a failure when you stop. So if you're not stopping, then it's a great learning. Let's talk about raising money, because you brought that up, that there are people that certainly come on Dragon's Den and, you know, maybe you feel, and everybody feels, that maybe if all they really require is advertising dollars to acquire new customers and giving away a percentage of their equity, for access to that capital. Can we talk about venture capital, you know, or what Dragon's Den dollars are available versus taking capital from ClearBank? Can you kind of maybe contrast the two a little bit further?
You know, the way that I would think about this is venture capital and, you know, Dragon's Capital is good for things that are true, let's call them 0-1 risk. We're going to try and build a crazy product that's never built before. We're trying to, you know, cure a disease, build a crazy piece of AI. We're going to put 40 engineers on an idea and there is a chance that something might happen, which is a win. And then there's a chance that this all might not happen, which is a zero. That's venture capital. That's true risk capital. And that's what it should be used for. What if you have something that's repeatable and scalable? If you use venture capital to buy ads, you know, you're using the most expensive capital to do something that should be exactly that, repeatable and scalable. And no one really thinks about the cost of equity. I mean, at an extreme example, the $250,000 into Uber's Series A is now worth $1 billion. Like, that's an insane APR when you think about that. Equity is very, very, very expensive when things go well. And you never get to give it back. Once you've given away a percentage of your company, you never get to go buy that back. Or if you're buying it back, you're buying it back at, you know, 3 or 10 times what you gave it up for, if you even get that option. So at its simplest form, you know, if you're taking true risk on something that is a, you know, high risk kind of scientific or product development activity, you should use venture capital. If you're doing something repeatable and scalable, you should use ClearBank. And I think about it this way: would you give Facebook shares in your company for buying Facebook ads? Like, that's effectively what families are doing when they're giving their shares to venture capitalists. To, you know, the stat is 40% of the venture capital dollars that are going into consumer companies are being spent directly on Google and Facebook. So I wouldn't give shares directly to Facebook to buy their product. And I don't think founders should be either.
Yeah, you bring up some good points there. I never really thought of it from that angle. So yeah, it's pretty clear that if you've created this brand and you're already getting a little bit of traction in the marketplace, but it really is, hey, I have some data behind me now for, you know, cost per acquisition is a KPI that you're tracking, or lifetime value you're tracking. Even if you're not a subscription-based e-commerce brand, there still is the frequency and the of purchases. And once you know that these sort of metrics, then it sounds like this data through your organization, you're now able to look at it and then saying, hey, you know what? This is repeatable. This is scalable. And yes, I'm willing to throw some dollars at it to kind of help them fuel that engine. I think that's great.
And you know, the nice part, Steve, about using data is that you actually take the bias out of decision-making. And it's so funny because one of the things, I mean, I care deeply about getting more women to be entrepreneurs, but because we just use data without even trying, without doing, you know, recruiting or anything, we have funded 8 times more women entrepreneurs than the VC average. And all that is because we're looking at data. And so I love when you have things where if you see a problem, you're just building a solution around it immediately. And I think that's a great testament to the product we built.
So through Dragon's Den, I think approximately 15 or so companies, e-commerce brands that you've invested in so far?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone from Taplock to RVZ, which is a marketplace for RVs, to Inkbox, which is the 2-week tattoo that looks exactly like a real tattoo. Beauty companies, Grace and Stella. I've done a lot through the show.
That's a great opportunity, eh? I mean, there is that kind of Dragon's Den or Shark Tank effect of just the notoriety and the publicness of being out there in the wild and being on a national television show. So it certainly helps. And I know that Shopify, from what I understand, likes to be given some heads up, knowing there's going to be, you know, a Today Show kind of, you know, they want to make sure there's going to be significant lift in traffic. They want to make sure that they have, you know, scaled correctly for that. And I know there's been some amazing success stories that have come out of Dragon's Den. But can you tell me, like, maybe what's kind of your playbook? You know, do you have any kind of concepts or ideas or things that you want to execute with a brand? They decide to come on a ClearBank and you take a look at their data. Is there anything specific that you're looking for that really helps them grow?
And this I learned from personal experience. I mean, when I invested on Dragon's Den and all these e-commerce companies, I think founders should be taking their companies to like $10 to $20 million in revenue in largely just Facebook and social ads today. It is like the best platform, scales really well. Everyone thinks it's a great idea to do pop-ups and brick and mortar. Those are incredibly difficult, incredibly time consuming, and often incredibly expensive. So my playbook for my Dragon's Den companies were, let's get you scaled up on Facebook and make sure your unit economics are not breaking. And that's the same thing that I would advise with ClearBank. It's like, let's, you know, start spending more and more on, you know, the platforms that are working for you. Let's try and diversify those so that you're, you know, trying Twitter and Pinterest and Google and everything else. And let's actually see if that's scaling with you. And then after that, we know that there's other things that we can set up. We can do optimization on your website. We can, you know, optimize the way that you're shipping and getting your products. But really, the number one thing that I encourage companies to do was ramp up their ad spend, because that's one of the really important things. Companies often in Canada especially stay small for way too long. And it's really important to kind of push them out of the nest and say, you know, we got to see if this is actually scaling here.
Yeah, it's a good playbook. I like it. I'm going to make sure I update these show notes linking to these sort of topics, because I think it's very unfortunate that I think people start not looking at the data. They also are changing a lot of things on their website. You know, I don't want to say the shiny object syndrome, but kind of where really is your best effort and time and energy really needed in working on why this pixel is out and this color is wrong. I mean, yeah, A/B testing is one thing, but really let's get into, like, you know, as you call it, the unit economics, and really figure out what is actually driving this business right now. And can we, as you call it, is it repeatable and scalable through like paid acquisition? And let's think about the lifetime value, and let's think about cost per acquisition. Let's think about the profitability of the brand. And, you know, and then from there, make decisions. Obviously, you know, now it sounds like using capital available through ClearBank is a great choice for people that are in that position.
100%. And I'm totally with you. There is this huge temptation to what, you know, the tech people call pixel push, right? Like move little things around, change colors. Ultimately, that doesn't make a difference. And it's a huge waste of time. You know, if you have a great product and great pictures of your product and a great description or video of your product, that should sell itself. And Shopify does an incredible job of making sure the rest of the technology is working for you. I mean, let's just even talk about that. I mean, I started an e-commerce store way before Shopify, when it took us 4 weeks to get a payment processor. Every time we moved a button, everything broke. I mean, it is just such a tremendous gift that a platform is so stable and can do so much customization. And so don't get distracted with all the customization. You want a couple of things to work well. You want your email capture to work well. You want it to be very, very easy for people to check out. But beyond that, focus on product and marketing and scaling and making sure that your unit economics are positive.
So you obviously have access to a lot of e-commerce brands, you know, through Dragon's Den and now through ClearBank, and then your kind of own entrepreneurial journey kind of in e-commerce. Is there any favorite e-commerce companies right now that you can think of?
I'll give you a couple that are ClearBank customers that are really cool. One of them is Boxu. And so they do a monthly Japanese snack subscription box.
Wow.
So I think that's so cool. You get to try Japanese snacks. I think specifically my boyfriend is really into Japanese snacks. So this is like made me the girlfriend of the year, which I thought was cool. Latote is an interesting customer of ours. They allow you to rent regular clothes and then return them, which I think is a great, you know, project. Nectar has been an interesting one. They're one of the largest mattress bed in a box companies in the US right now. And then the other one that I've seen recently is Buffy, which is just focused on selling comforters. And they've done an incredible job branding the product and really building a really beautiful brand experience.
Very cool. I'll make sure I link up a lot of these brands in the show notes just so people can kind of see the, you know, I mean, I guess you really do fund pretty much anybody in e-commerce, providing that you're able to share. Maybe you should walk through maybe that process, kind of the onboarding or potential opportunities available to capital. How do people go about doing that? Do they go to the website and fill an application? And can you maybe walk through that process so people are aware of what they can expect if they want to do business with you?
So what we need is we need to understand exactly the data I was talking about, which is your unit economics. And so if you remember your passwords, it should actually take you like 5 minutes to get through our application process, because you're basically linking our accounts so that we can look at your data. We obviously can't touch your data, but so we're looking for you to connect your payment processor, your bank account, your e-commerce platform account, and then your ad spend metrics. And so that could be Facebook or Google. And then from there, we can make a decision in as fast as 24 hours on that. So we try and make it incredibly easy. I mean, I have raised venture capital money in my career, and it's like a 3 to 6 month process and it takes forever. This is, you know, designed to be really fast. I mean, we gave a company $10 million in 2 days after we had seen their metrics without ever meeting them. And so we try and we're very, very data driven. And as soon as we have those data sources, you'll know right away how much capital we can give you and how we can scale.
And then
you.
The scale part is, so I guess there's an ongoing relationship. So is there an initial kind of injection of cash, or is it monthly? And then how does that flow like long-term?
Yeah. So we typically start out with, you know, what the business is looking for and what the business needs. You can always talk to someone on the ClearBank team. We make it so like everyone on our team, you can text and you can communicate with in whatever way that you want to. I think that's an important part of building, you know, a modern fintech company is talking to people the way they want to be talked to. And then we're monitoring your accounts to see as your business is growing, you know, if you need more capital from us, and then you can reach out at any time. So typically, you know, we start you with a certain amount. We can either, you know, wire that money to you, or we put it on a ClearBank debit card, and our debit card can then go into Facebook or Google or wherever you're buying your ads from. And, you know, we're providing some, you know, discounts on certain platforms when you use them, which is just sweetening the deal for the
entrepreneur. Awesome. I love it. So it sounds like an easy process to kind of get going on it. So, I mean, there's lots and lots and lots of entrepreneurs that are in that space that are, you know, are in that kind of maturity level where they're like, hey, you know what? I'd like to get things rolling. So I'll make sure I link in the show notes how to do that, how people can apply. And just by syncing all the appropriate accounts, and then, you know, you're making a data-driven decision as far as, you know, the amount. And I think that's great. Really, really cool. So I want to talk about, I'm getting near the end of the show, but I a couple things that I really am interested in too is about the future of ClearBank. And like, are you planning like, I guess, a 2019 roadmap? Is there on the, like, is there any kind of like partner alignment? And just trying to get a sense of kind of where you believe ClearBank is headed for, you know, the rest of this year and then into 2020.
Yeah. So one of the nice things is that we've expanded internationally. So now we're in the United States, Canada, and the UK, and we're going to keep expanding our geographies. We keep working deeper and deeper with the advertising platforms to be able to develop tools, early access to products, incentives to use different things. And so again, most e-commerce entrepreneurs are big spenders on these platforms. And so in many ways, we aggregate that spend and can get much better kind of buying power out of that. And so that's kind of a little bit of us. And then we're always open to working with new partners and great companies. We're going to bring all of our companies together in an event later this year. So we're pretty excited about that. But just generally figuring out all the ways that we can help our customers grow, because there's a lot we've learned from seeing all this data.
Yeah, and it's nice too that, you know, you really, you know, like I said at the top of the show, and I'm hearing it from you that, you know, once the numbers are there and it's repeatable and scalable, and then having, you know, a very affordable way of accessing, you know, a small or in some cases significant amount of capital, it seems like you're really aligning yourself as a true kind of trusted advisor and a partner along with the brand.
100%. I want to be the best investor you've ever had. And I want to do that without taking a part of your company, being able to scale with you, but also being, you know, saying if you do one set of capital with us and you're good on your own, that's totally fine. You know, there's no need for an ongoing relationship if you don't need it. And right. So I think that we've just, you know, I tried to develop the product that I wish I had had. And I'm just very focused on doing what's right for the entrepreneur.
Awesome. Very commendable. I really appreciate that. I'm excited to get this show kind of out in the wild and really educate the whole Shopify ecosystem that this is available, because, you know, people unfortunately are maxing out credit cards, or they're, as you said, you know, typical Canadian, they're going slower to grow when the data is there to prove that they just need capital to really push hard and then access inventory. And, you know, they can improve all the rest of the e-commerce process along the way as needed. But really, if you're at a certain level, this is something you really want to think about, you know, potentially getting involved with.
100%. And don't give up a piece of your company, and don't put all your personal assets on the line. I think, you know, that has been the only way for entrepreneurs to do this for years. And that's because there wasn't big data sources. You couldn't measure, you know, cost of unit acquisition. I mean, we could never do this if it was like, oh, we were going to buy some billboards and we'll see what happens. Like, we couldn't have built a business on that either. And so, you know, now we're in a moment of time when we have all this data, and let's just use it, build the best product for the entrepreneur.
Beautiful. So we are nearing the end of the show. Do you have any kind of closing comments or any takeaways that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
I'm just very excited with where e-commerce is going. You know, right now, this is this opportunity to connect directly with your end consumers and to do that in a measured and scalable way. And so I would just always say, doing that without giving up a piece of your company is always going to be the best deal in the long run for founders. And so would love for people to discover if ClearBank's a good fit for them.
Which is my last, or close to my last question, about how can people learn more about ClearBank?
So ClearBank, ClearBank, not a K at the end, .com. And then any of the socials, I am at Michelle with one L, Romano. And you can always message me individually, and I can get you rerouted too. But ClearBank.com should have all of the information.
Well, thanks, Michelle, for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. If you see the amount of notes that I've scribbled down as we were talking today, it's just kind of a true testament that, you know, you've shared some really good value today. It excites me because every day I get emails from people listening to the show. It's so interesting that these sort of problems come up quite a bit with a lot of merchants, and they need to have a scalable way of kind of growing their brand. And they feel that some are still doing the 9-to-5 in this kind of side hustle. Other people are making enough money that this is their full-time gig, but, you know, they're wearing multiple hats. It's just like, you seem like to be, you know, really positioning yourself to really help these entrepreneurs, because you have been one, are one currently. And it's just like, I think there's a lot of empathy that goes along with that. And I wanted to, you know, throw those kudos out to you. I really appreciate that this is kind of, I guess, your new journey.
Oh, well, thank you. It's always easy to relate to the journey that you've been on. And there's so many incentives to protect yourself and to screw over the entrepreneur. And that's what so much of this space has been before. It's been, oh, well, why don't you have, you know, this covenant that you have to have this much cash, or this warrant where you just give up a free piece of your company for you know, no cash and just debt. Like, all of those didn't make sense. And, you know, they're certainly tempting to do, but I've been just so firm in defending, you know, who the founder is and how we can handle them.
Well, that's it. That's it for today's show. Once again, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. I hope you enjoyed my conversation today with Michelle Romano from ClearBank. Thanks again, Michelle, for being so generous with your time on the podcast today. You know, ClearBank really is uniquely positioning itself in the market by looking at your data and then offering capital to fuel new customer acquisition without taking any equity. They truly are a partner in your success. Now, all the links mentioned in today's episode, including a link to the application for capital through ClearBank, is available at ecommercefastlane.com. I would love to hear your feedback on this episode, and even better if you accepted a capital offer from ClearBank and that continued growth journey. You can ping me on Twitter at Stephen Hutt or through the Facebook page. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of the show. It's my hope this podcast is just offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and, you know, all really with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Now, thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of your week and keep thriving with Shopify.